Our next guest has written a book that, well, part of the name we can't say, so we're going to have to give you an idea of what it means. Bull S Jobs. We can't say the S word, so we'll just call it BS Jobs. David Graeber is here this morning. David, we're going to have a conversation about the book, but we wanted to get that out of the way first of all. Good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me.
You probably have to go through that every time you're interviewed on the radio, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But the book is...
I just couldn't think of anything else to call it.
Right. Well, but that's the point, I think. That's why I wanted to mention it, is because you've sort of laid out here that most of us have these jobs. Give us a sense of what you found.
Well, I originally wrote the thing as an essay, and it was almost a hypothesis. I kept meeting people who, when you ask them what they do, they're kind of apologetic and embarrassed, and they say, well, nothing really, you know, don't tell my boss, but I really do about 2 hours work a week. Or they say their entire line of work shouldn't really exist. And I wondered, how many people like that are there? And I wrote this little essay, sort of, maybe this is the reason we're not all working 15-hour days. You know, we were supposed to be at a point where machines would do so much of the work that we could live lives of leisure. Maybe they're just making up jobs. And I wrote the essay. I put it in a pretty obscure magazine called Strike, and the thing just went totally viral. I had no idea that it would have this kind of reaction. Like, within 2 weeks, it was translated into 15 different languages.
Apparently,
it's a lot more common than I thought.
Yeah, and you actually put a number. There's actually a number on it. Maybe 40% of us have these pointless jobs, which is unbelievable. Give us a sense of what one of these jobs would be. What would an example be?
Well, I actually asked people at one point to send in examples of their most pointless jobs. So I got a lot of stuff from, anything from a telemarketer. Basically, all telemarketers wish there were no telemarketers. But that's kind of a bad BS job. A lot of them pay very well and are quite nice. So I got a lot of people who work in corporate law, a lot of people who work in middle management, these sort of executive roles, you know, brand manager, things like that. And a lot of stuff in PR and marketing. You know, most people there feel that if there weren't PR and marketing people, the world might be a slightly better place. Things like that. I mean, but there's a million different varieties.
Is it a little too much to expect that all of our jobs would be those that change the world?
Well, change the world is one thing, but, you know, a bus driver is not a BS job. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Nobody who's a gardener, nobody who's a nurse thinks that their job is nonsense. The amazing thing is that so many of those people sitting at desks who you kind of wonder in your mind, you know, what are they really thinking about their job? If the statistics are right, almost all of them are thinking this job shouldn't exist.
We often hear politicians, the administration here in the U.S. talking about how we need more jobs, more jobs, more jobs.
Exactly.
What I'm hearing you say is that it may not be the quantity, but the quality of jobs.
Exactly, and I think this is one of the reasons why this could happen. Because, you know, the Soviet Union, old communist countries, they would make up jobs because they had a policy of full employment. And a lot of those jobs are just obviously nonsense and unnecessary. But, you know, there you can understand why it happened. But I think something very similar happened here. You know, this is exactly what's supposed to not happen in capitalism. But, in fact, I realized at one point the one thing that both left and right totally agree on is the solution to any problem is more jobs. That isn't the solution. Maybe, you know, if you don't care what kind of job it is, you're going to end up with totally stupid jobs.
And I'm guessing these jobs, whether they're worthless or not, whether they're BS jobs or not, is pay a part of this or is it separate from pay?
Well, this is actually quite interesting because I actually made a distinction that I can't say on the radio. But, you know, there's bad jobs and there's BS jobs. And actually, most of the BS jobs pay pretty well. You know, telemarketers are an exception. Most of them are much more like the sort of minor executive, middle management type jobs. And a lot of these, you know, the clerical administrative supervisory, a lot of these, you know, they have good benefits, they pay well, you get social respect, yet you're haunted with the secret knowledge that you're not actually doing anything with your life. So this creates a real problem for people. You know, there's a complete disconnect between the amount of respect you get and the amount of reward you get and what you actually do. If you do a useful job, chances are you're not paid very well. But if you do a useless job, you're paid much better.
I find it interesting that part of the argument, again, looking to the future, everybody's concerned about robots and automation taking jobs. Mm-hmm. But you read about how this might actually take some of these BS jobs and keep them away from us and let us do other things.
Yeah, well, I mean, the interesting thing is people have been warning that, like, machines are going to take our jobs at least since the 1930s, probably before. But it was a big thing in the Depression, the, you know, technological unemployment, they called it. And a lot of people say, well, that didn't really happen, did it? I mean, look, the unemployment rate remains about the same, despite the fact that they computerize or mechanize more and more things. So maybe this rise of the robot stuff is not as scary as we think. But then if you look at it, you realize that actually, no, about half the jobs that did exist in the 1930s have been eliminated. The problem is, instead of just giving us half the time, you know, saying, okay, you can work 20 hours instead of 40 hours a week now, we've just made up completely useless jobs to fill our time because we have this strange morality. You know, the politics, they're always saying more jobs, more jobs. There's a kind of weird morality that if you're not working harder than you want to work at something you don't enjoy, you're a bad person. And they've managed to convey that pretty strongly. You know, as a result, you know, we actually have this rise of the robots unemployment already, and we just covered it up by making up these non-existent, you know, meaningless jobs.
You are a professor of anthropology, so I'm going to ask you a question about the past. And, you know, oftentimes when we hear about our ancestors, it's rarely, it seems to me rarely that we hear what they've were doing, what kinds of jobs they have, unless they had some sort of obvious job. Do you think they had BS jobs even way back then?
Well, I mean, there were definitely jobs. Well, it depends on the history's a long place. You know, if you have a feudal system, if you have a large concentration of wealth, then there's going to be rich people will surround themselves with retainers and flunkies of one kind or another. I mean, if you go Rome, you know, there's a whole class of people whose basic job was to get invited to dinner and sort of entertain important people. So, yes, those kind of people did exist, especially in very unequal societies. You know, in egalitarian societies, no, people tended to work as much as they needed to, which is often very little, 2 or 3 hours a day often, and then just sort of entertain themselves and find something to do in the rest of the time. But that actually provides a clue, I think, to what's going on here, because a lot of these jobs are basically kind of funky jobs. In any large corporation, executives, their status is measured by how many people they have working under them. So I've actually talked to efficiency experts who work for banks or places like that, and they make a lot of recommendations. You know, you could actually reduce 80% of your employees in this branch or that branch, or if you computerize, if you do this, if you do this, do things better. And they say that almost never do they take the suggestions, because it would always mean that somebody has less people working under them and is thus less important. So if you think about it, a lot of these guys who work in offices, they're the equivalent of feudal retainers. They're just sitting around making somebody else look good and important.
This conversation is one you think that more people should be having, and I'm curious if we are to remove some of these BS jobs in the future, is it going to come from the top down or the bottom up?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question. I can't really imagine it's happening from the top down. There's just no incentive. I mean, they'll always squeeze the blue-collar workers, right? So if you have a corporation, they're always downsizing, speeding up, they're introducing efficiency on the guys who are actually doing real jobs. The people who are just doing completely useless jobs never seem to get touched. So I don't see it happening from the top down. It would be nice to have a movement from below, but the question is, what form would it take? You know, I mean, you're not going to really have people rioting in the streets demanding that flunkies and suites get fired. And nor should you, really. I think that the best solution would be either a massive reduction of working hours, which would be very nice, a movement for that, or a universal basic income, which a lot of people are talking about. If we just give people enough to live and let them decide for themselves what they want to do with themselves, you know, very few people will decide, yeah, I want to spend my time highlighting forms, you know, or sitting there at a desk where nobody, you know, answering a phone twice a day, and otherwise just sort of looking nice. The people just quit those jobs because they don't have to do them. People will do jobs that are necessary because people want to feel they contribute to the world.
And I guess the question at that point is if they've been trained all of this time to do these BS jobs, whether they actually have the motivation to do something else.
I think a lot of them are really do. I mean, the thing that really surprised me is just how miserable people are. If you think about it, in a way, why aren't they happy? I mean, these guys are getting paid pretty good money sometimes to do absolutely nothing at all. Yet, instead of saying, wow, I got something for nothing, great, I hope nobody figures it out, a lot of them are just, they get depressed, they have stress issues, psychosomatic illness, they really start falling apart. I think people really are designed to want to do something. I always say, look at prisons. Some of these are the most antisocial people we got. But if they want to punish them, they deny them the right to work. They're just sitting in your cell watching TV or playing cards all day, is considered even worse than working in the prison laundry or cleaning latrines. I mean, people really want to do something with their lives.
David, awesome conversation this morning, and an even better book. It's called BS Jobs, the full word there, Bull S Jobs. We appreciate you being with us here this morning, and thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Take care.
David Graeber is the author, again, of BS Jobs, and is a professor of anthropology at the London School of Economics.